Welcome, dear listeners, to a sacred journey through the pages of God's Word. I'm your guide in this adventure, Steve Kitts, and I'm truly grateful that you've joined me in another session of During Bible Study Podcast. Before we look closer into these verses that will illuminate your heart and your mind today, let us pause for a moment in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we open your precious Word, we look for your guidance and wisdom. May the Holy Spirit be our teacher. Illuminate the truth within each of these sacred pages. Bless all those that tune in today, that they may find solace, inspiration, and spiritual growth through what is shared and explored in your Word. In Jesus' holy name, we pray, and amen. Let's talk about the devil's attacks. Has the devil ever used your past against you? Maybe he's told you that you're in this mess because of your own actions, or it's all your fault, or that's what you get for doing what you're doing. Don't even try to ask God for help because you got yourself into this mess and now you have to get yourself out of it. Or he will tell you that God won't help you because you're reaping exactly what you've sown. Have you ever heard these kinds of accusations from the devil? Well, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 is just what you need. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." The word vigilant comes from the Greek word gregario, which means to be on guard, to be watchful, and to be attentive. The word primary denotes the watchful attitude of one who is on the lookout to make certain that no enemy or aggressor can successfully gain entry into your life or place of residence. This tells us we must be on high alert against the enemy who is seeking to gain access to our lives. This means that there's just not one act of vigilance or attack, but you will have continual attack against your person, but against your life, against your Christian walk. The enemy is coming after us, and we need to be aware of everything that's going on around us, what's coming into our lives, what's going out of our lives. I know that Peter talks about it and lets us know that we need to be watchful. We need to be sober. We need to be thinking clearly. That's what that focused and really zeroed in on what we need to do. The moment that we take our eyes off Jesus, that's when we sink, right? Well, Peter took his eyes off of Jesus and he sunk in the sea around him. And he had to reach out and say, "Jesus, help me," and Jesus did. So, you know, we really have to be mindful and be aware of what has transpired around us. I know, me personally, there's things going on that's attacking my life and attacking my family and causing me to have a difficult walk right now. But you know what? I can't change anything without God's help. God's the one that's going to do it all. I'm going to praise Him through this storm. I'm going to praise Him through the troubles and the trials and the things that I'm going through. I'm going to hold on to Him and make sure that my life is focused around Him. I'm on guard. I'm studying His Word. I'm doing the things that He wants me to do so He can use me through this as an example, going, okay, the enemy attacked him this way, but this is how God delivered him. Just like when we look at the Old Testament, the issues that all the people went through, they're an example of, sure, the world's going to come against you. It may be, you know, armies, or it may be Goliath, it may be different things that is going to attack you. And we notice that each one of them are a little bit different from the other one, just like each walk is different than everything else. But holding on to God, trusting in God through Jesus Christ. See, we have something that the Old Testament people didn't have, but they still persevered. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us, and all we have to do is allow that Holy Spirit to guide us and to teach us and to help us through things. Sometimes we don't listen to that still small voice, that nudging or that encouragement or that helpful hand, you know, the comforter even. You know, Jesus said, I'm sending greater to you than myself. This power that Jesus gave us, it shouldn't be taken lightly. We should hold on to the Holy Spirit and let it guide and teach and use us. That's how we'll overcome these things. We'll hold on to the promises of God. He'll never put anything on us we can't handle. We need to hold on to Him. Show God in everything we do. Be usable. Be faithful. I know sometimes it's hard when we see things coming against us to look at a solution that we can do, whatever we can get done, without talking to God about it first. We need to talk to God continually. Keep that relationship up, because one day you're going to stand before the risen Jesus, and when He comes back to bring His people home, when God says, go get your people and get your bride, we'll all, every one of us, saved or not saved, will kneel down before Jesus, the conquering Lord, and He will say, come on in or get away from me. That's the only two responses you're going to get. I want to be the one that He knows by name, that He knows me, the name He gave me when He saved my soul. He's going to call that out and say, come on over here. Come on with me. We got things to do. I don't want Him to say, you failed me, or you've not took my blood, you've not accepted me, you've not believed in me. I don't want Him to turn me away like people turn Him away today. That's just a sad state that people will be in. It's a fact that not many people are going to make it to heaven. If you think about it, there's not many people that you go to church with or that you're around. Out of all the people that you know, we're few in numbers. And that's sad, but that's the state, and that's what the Bible tells us, that few are on the road. You know, the path is narrow, and broad is the one leading to hell. And a friend of mine told me that hell expands its borders every day. When you feel an earthquake or hear a loud boom, that's the enemy gaining more ground. That should bother us as Christians. We should be more workers and using what God gives us to try to save or help somebody, to keep them from going to hell. But back to the enemy's attacks. If the devil is successful in his persecution against you, he will persuade you to believe some unrighteous things and feel unworthy and not deserving God's love. He will get you in a depressed state. And once he gets you focused on all your troubles around you, then that's when you don't have that walk in the cool of the day with God. You are searching for something again to fill that space that you had with God. I don't want to be in that state. I want to hold on to God. I want to be in His presence. No matter what the enemy does, we can't fight the devil. We have no means but what power Jesus has. This came to me several years ago. It was about the Archangel Michael, one of the strongest angels that we have in God's army. He was tasked to go get Moses' body. And the devil came against him to attack him and said, no, he's going to keep Moses' body. And instead of the strongest angel that we have in God's arsenal fighting the devil to do what he had been tasked to do, He said, "This fight ain't mine. It's Jesus. I'll let Jesus handle this." And that's, you know, it gives me encouragement to know that I can't fight the devil. Archangel Michael can't fight the devil. That it takes Jesus. Jesus is the strongest connection to any kind of victory that we'll ever need. If we trust in Him, and we see all through the Bible, people reach out and they call for strength like Samson to destroy the enemy that he was tasked to destroy. He pushed the pillars down and killed more than he killed in his lifetime in just one obedience. It's little things like that, you know, it's not our strength, it's God's strength. It's believing in Jesus that's going to get us through this. Marriages get into trouble too because the spouse, they don't spend time together and nurture their own relationships. The enemy is able to put in doubts and fears and use that against each other, even if nobody's doing anything wrong. The enemy can plant suggestions and evil things that will destroy marriage. And what I'm going through in my personal Christian walk, it affects my family, and it's part of who I am and what I do for God. And my wife knows it, my kids know it. So if I'm having trouble and if I'm doubting myself, because sometimes we do doubt ourselves as Christians, are we doing the right things? Are we doing what God wants us to do? How can we do something better? How can we reach more people? There's 100 questions that we can throw at ourselves, and we start stumbling ourselves. Thank God that I have my wife that helps stabilize me. And one of the first things that she's ever said when we come up against stuff is, well, let's stop and pray about it. Let's talk to God together about it. Because that two or three gathered together is really important. It's part of our family dynamic. When there's issues and troubles coming up, I can reach out to my children and say, you know, help me pray about the situation. And I know without a doubt that they've sent up a prayer. And that's what we do. We work together as a unit. And, you know, sure, not all the time are the children or people walking and talking with God that you have separation, that you try to do your own things at times. And that is a problem, but it ain't the end all problem. It's just a separation, a time away from God that can be corrected. Most of the time, just like the prodigal son, when you get away from God, He gives you space to come back to Him. You realize where you're at, you come to yourself. And there's several places in the Bible that has happened. One thing, the prodigal son, for sure, he was in his lowest spot. He was worse than he's ever been in his life. He's lowered his standards. He's lowered his lifestyle. He's lowered his expectations of himself. He wants to go back just to be a servant at his father's house, knowing that his servants are well taken care of. And when he gets heading back, you know, he came to himself and he says, you know, I just want to be in my father's presence. So he heads back and the father's waiting on him and runs out to meet him, kisses him and hugs him and puts a robe on him and puts rings back on him, gives him back a status, a glory that he had thrown off, that he disbanded, that he discarded just like garbage. He took his father's riches and squandered them. And that's what we have done as Christians at times. We've went off and done our own thing. We've thought, oh, I can do this better than what I'm doing right now. Give me what you can give me, and I'll go out and do my own thing. And then you realize that you need the Father. You need to be in His presence. You need to be with Him. And then you go back And that's what most of our Christian walk is a going back and rediscovering our love for God. We do have to have that time away to know that the feeling of not having God in our lives is horrible, and it's not what we want. I feel like I'm rambling this whole message, but I'm trying to get the point across that the enemy's going to attack, and he's going to cause problems. Not just in your personal life, he's going to do it in your work life. He's going to do it in your social life. Whatever he can do to disrupt you from having a good walk and talk with God and keeping your focus on what God wants you to do, he's going to do it. The best thing you could do is to hold on to God. Hold on to the promises. Be vigilant. To study his word. Be usable by God. Be constantly on guard. And did you notice that it said that the devil was like a lion? We use a lion a lot in the Bible, but it's normally when you talk about a lion, you talk about the Lion of Judah, which is Jesus Christ, most powerful being that ever walked this earth. And describing him as a lion is what I've always looked to when I hear lion in the Bible. But we also see that Peter talks about the devil being as a lion. And we know that the devil can impersonate angels. He can, you know, come in different forms and fashions. But I've never really looked at him as a lion. But the Bible says that he has been like a lion, and that he wants to devour. And now devour means to drink or to lick up or to slurp up, as a lion may lick the blood of his prey off the ground. The devil wants to turn you into a mess of liquid emotions and then lick you up when there's nothing left of your life. That's what he wants to do with you, but we don't have to let him. You need to get tired of the harassment and be on guard. Be refocused on your walk with God. Stand up, throw back your shoulders, and command him to leave in the name of Jesus. Like I said, even the Archangel Michael had to call on the name of Jesus to handle the devil. So don't feel bad. Don't feel less than anything that if you, as a mortal person, as a vessel of clay, something that was created to give glory to God, if we fail to do certain things, or we have issues, or we have troubles, it's not our fight. We have to go to the Father with it. We have to tell him, we need your help. We need you to step in this situation. We need your guidance. We need your direction. Now, I say that if we go to God and say, God, what do we need to do? And he clearly tells us, change your direction, or change your focus, or get rid of this. Whatever he commands us to do, when we do that, then we can see a change and a difference. We can't just throw up a prayer and say, God, take care of this, and walk off and leave it and expect things to be different. If we want change, then we have to implement the change that he gives us. We have to walk in that change. We have to claim that victory. We have to do things that he wants us to do in the way that he wants us to do it. It seems complicated, but it's not. A simple obedience, simple submission to who we are is all he's asking for us. We know that, or we should know that, we're nothing without him, that we need him to do the work. We have lost loved ones. We can't save anyone. All we can do is show them the love of Jesus and say, what He's done for me, He could do for you. Whatever you're going through, He is the solution. Whenever the enemy comes against us and attacks us, sure, we can give him scripture back, but it's all Jesus. We can claim victory in Jesus' name. We can claim power over certain things in Jesus' name. It's nothing of us. Now, when the enemy does attack, and he will, I want to encourage you to go ahead and call out to the name of Jesus. Stop what you're doing, because, except when you're driving, but stop what you're doing at that point and say, God, I need your help. Help me get through this. Strengthen my faith, strengthen my walk, strengthen my ability to serve you. Let me be the vessel that you use to destroy this enemy's attack, because no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Jesus is our Lord and Master. And if we believe in that Lord and Master, that He is in control of everything, that He wants the best for us, that He wants to protect us as servants of His, and that's, you go back through history, you can see battle after battle that a king or a ruler has done to protect his people. We're getting ready to see a battle that no one can defend. When Jesus says, okay, enough's enough, I'm stepping in, that's when you see change. When you see Him raise His sword against the enemy, then the battle is over. Well, that's what was on my heart today. And I really believe that any of the enemy's attacks, and soon to be, I'll be 56 years old. And all my life, all my walk, I've done it, tried to focus on Jesus. When the enemy attacked, I would crumble and fall. But now I'm a little bit older and stronger in my Christian walk, that I know that I can't do things on my own. I used to try to attack the enemy and used to, you know, do things that I thought was right. And most of them probably were, to a point. But in my heart back then, I didn't believe and didn't trust enough in God to say, Jesus, You're in control. Whatever You want to happen will happen, and I will be all right with that. But I'll still give You the praise and the honor and the glory. I'll lift You up. I'll walk in Your light. I'll be with You through this to the end. See, I know I'm on the downhill slide of this life walk, that I've got less days ahead of me than I do behind me. That makes me want to hold on to Him even more and be closer to Him even more, because He is my forever. This world will pass away, and all the trouble and everything in it will be gone. It'll be unmade, is what the Bible tells us, that there's no reason to try to store up treasures here. It's good to have things, and if anybody knows me, they know I love electronics and gadgets and techs and stuff like that, and creating new things out of nothing. But we know, and we look at this whole thing, that it's going to be gone one day. The new heaven and new earth will have to come down. A world that has never been, that had never had a battle at. See, the heaven we have now has had a battle and a struggle. He's not going to put new glorified people in a place like that. He's building something new that's never been tainted with any kind of disruption or troubles or battles. You're getting something brand new, something glorious. The new heaven and new earth will be reimagined. set up great and wonderful. So that's my message. And we'll go ahead and close in a prayer. Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. As we walk this walk, Lord, let us ever look to you. Let us ever hold on to you, Lord, in your hand. Trust in your guidance and your ability to work in our lives. Let us ever be usable, that you can use us however you see fit. That we can stand when you say stand, walk when you say walk, pray when you say pray, Lord. We want to be in your will, that we want to be the one, Lord, that can call out to you and you hear us. We thank you and we praise you, Lord, for all that you are. We thank you, Lord, for the daily breath that you give us and the ability to think and to reason. Let us ever hold on to you and give you the glory that you deserve in all of our walk. In your blessed name, amen. I want to take a minute to talk to you about Buzzsprout. Today is a great day to start your own podcast. Whether you're looking for a new market or a channel, may I suggest that you share your thoughts and your ideas with the world. And it's just so fun to have a talk show. Podcasting is very easy, inexpensive, and a fun way to expand your reach online. Buzzsprout is hands down the easiest and best way to launch, promote, and track your podcast. Your show can be online and listed in major podcast directories like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and many more within minutes of finishing each recording. Podcasting isn't hard when you have the right partners. And a team that they have at Buzzsprout is passionate in helping you succeed. They want you to succeed. Join with over 100,000 podcasters already using Buzzsprout to get their message out to the world. Let's go ahead and create something together. God bless you.